Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
You know, Paul, when writing his letter to Timothy, revealed an undeniable truth in chapter 6 about each one of us sitting here this morning and every person that is born. 1 Timothy 6:7 said this, says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we cannot carry nothing out." This truth also reveals that nothing we have is truly ours. Nothing belongs to us. Jesus reveals this truth in the parable of the rich farmer who was going to build a bigger barns for all his crops yielded. And planned on living a long time with his life. If you know this story, he had a huge crop, had too much grain. He's going to build more barns, and he's going to live forever. But the Lord said this to him in Luke chapter 12, verse 20. He says, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all those things be which you have provided?'" In other words, who are all these things that you have? Who will they belong to? So we find a truth. Solomon penned that same thought when we think about it in the book of Ecclesiastes when he said in chapter 5, verse 15, "As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return, to go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor which he may carry away in his hand." What's being expressed with that thought is that we have nothing that is ours. Even in this short vapor of time, whether you live to be 30 years old or whether you live to be 100 years old, we find there's a thought that is threaded through the Word of God that nothing belongs to us. I know that's disappointing to you, but the psalmist even says the same thing in Psalms 49, verse 17, "For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him." And then we have the famous scripture that Job wrote after he had lost everything that he had. Everything that he seen important and was looking around, and family was gone and houses were gone and camels were gone. Everything that he would say, "Those are mine," he found that there was none that really actually belonged to him. He penned this and said this, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can I tell you this morning, the longer each one of us lives and experiences the passing of a loved one or those that are friends or those that are close to us, this reality that Paul exposed and Timothy and Job exposed and the psalmist exposed, this reality becomes more of our lives. I can think of times, even when my dad passed, and everything that he possessed, everything that he considered very important, was no longer under his control. He started a business in 1958, and he was almost there every day. And almost that until the day that God took him home in 2000. And there was the unfinished project here. And there was the Ford pickup that he loved and talked about all the time. I know he had problems, but I'm just saying, there was these things, and it never really sunk into my heart until I looked at the things that once were considered to be his that were actually never his. And I think all of us can see those moments, and we see those times of reality that life is. I know if you're younger, you're not really getting what I'm saying this morning. But the more that you have people in your life that pass, the more you understand that we truly have nothing that belongs to ourselves. I'm not looking to depress you this morning. I think we should live in reality of God's Word. But see, we can truly say nothing is ours. But we are stewards or managers of that which is allotted to us. We are stewards are managers of that which is allotted to us. Each one of us this morning. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says this, "He who is faithful in what is least, is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." What is being spoken of that Jesus, the Father, God, Holy Spirit, His Son, are saying this very thing. He says, what we have been allotted into our life, if we're faithful with that, He's going to make us in charge of much. In other words, what we hear from coming down from heaven is the fact that nothing belongs to us. Everything is given to us. And the way we manage that or stewardship over that, God is watching. God is paying attention to how we take care of that which God gives to us. It's something that I believe we are to understand. Today and the next two Sundays, I will be preaching about stewardship. Of course, I will have one Sunday concerning monetary things and our relationship with God. But the other two may surprise you. One Sunday, I will be preaching about being a good steward. Steward over our words. We speak. And today I will be speaking about being a good steward over the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, said this, and He said to them, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And then also we find in Matthew 28, in the same message, similar but different words, He said, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. What we find here is two passages of Scripture, but it's also speaking about the same thing. He did not make, listen this morning, He did not make the government stewards over the gospel of Jesus. He did not make the school system stewards over the gospel of Jesus. It seems like many times we want somebody else to promote the gospel other than ourselves. But the fact is that this calling, this commissioning, this thing that He has put in the hands, He has appointed the church of the living God. He's appointed those that have been blood washed by the blood of Jesus. He has appointed us to be stewards over the gospel of Christ. He's appointed the church, which is made up of believers. Each one of us. I know we call this what we call a local church, but the church is much bigger than the local church. We have all been called to be stewards over the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not this government. We can put a man in and we want him to promote what we do, but the fact is God has made us stewards of the gospel. It's our message. It's our calling. It's our purpose as believers of Christ to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. The answer, church, for 2026 is the gospel. And the church has been appointed stewardship over the gospel. So I want us to look this morning at three things concerning this appointment that came down from heaven to the church, which is called the body of Jesus. I want to look at three things this morning. Because if you're going to be appointed stewardship, you ought to have an understanding what that calls for. I think there ought to be a true understanding what it means to have such a precious thing handed into our laps, handed into our hands that we are to share with others. We are to have something that's going to resonate within our spirit how precious God is trusting or giving us and how He's saying unto us, Tall, I'm giving you the stewardship over the message of my Son, Jesus. Because it is so important. It's more important than anything the church is doing today. It is more important than anything else. Is that what God has given the church to do? First thing I want to point out is the church's responsibility to protect the integrity of the gospel. When we are stewards over something, it's our responsibility to protect the integrity of that which we've been placed over. And it's the church's responsibility to protect the integrity of the gospel that we have been put stewardships over. You know, we are told way back in Paul's day that there would be false teachers and false doctrines. And he says, they will be among you. They will be walking in the midst of you. And they will be led. We are even told in the latter days that there will be those that will draw preachers that will tickle people's ears. Say what they want to hear. We have been warned and told that that's going to happen in this time. If we've been warned and told about it, but we've been handed this precious gift called the gospel, we are to protect the integrity of the message in it. Because without the protection of it, then it gets perverted. It gets watered down. And let me tell you, when you pervert the gospel, there's no power in it. When you water the gospel down, there's no power in it. When you start to make it what you feel the gospel is, then there's no power in it. The only power there is in the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be pure and holy like it was sent down from heaven. That's where the power of God comes in. That's where things change. It's the integrity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, you can bring a crowd on and all these things, but are you really changing lives? The gospel works in the way God has designed it. And we are to protect the integrity of it. We are to protect the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, became fully human, incarnated by being supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He came with a mission to die upon the cross of a sinless man, or as a sinless man, to fix what happened in the Garden of Eden. The separation that came between man and God. Jesus came in like form as a man, fully God and fully man, to bring that bridge back. This mission that Christ came on would take him 33 and a half years. He was lifted up as a sin cure for all of those that would believe upon him. And he died upon the cross as a sinless man and also died upon the cross as God. He was put in the grave. And on the third day, we're going to celebrate it here pretty soon because I know they've already got everything out in Walmart for it. We're going to celebrate that third day because he was not just killed upon the cross and was not just buried, but on that third day, he came out. He is the only man that's ever been put in the grave that has been resurrected in new body. Hallelujah! That is the message of Jesus Christ. Yes. You say, well, that should be simple. Let me tell you, there are those out there trying to pervert all of what I just told you. Well, Mary couldn't have been a virgin. Well, Jesus had children and all these things. And Jesus had sin just like the rest of us. I'm telling you today, it's our job. And where is that? It's in some congregations meeting this morning that think that God or Christ was just like them. We have been given the responsibility of being stewards over the unadulterated message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're living in a time that many people are perverting the message. because they don't want to offend anybody. Well, I'm sorry, but if this message offends you, you need to get over it this morning. Because it is what the Word of God says. He was put in the grave and rose on that third day, and He walked among us for 40 days. The Bible has witnesses and testimonies that Christ walked among them 40 days after the resurrection and then was ascended up into heaven with over 500 witnesses watching Him go up into heaven. I'm just saying today, we got the real truth. Being put as stewards over the gospel, we must be solid on what we know and why we know it and why we preach it. Can I tell you this morning, He is the only way unto heaven. He is the only way unto the Father. There is no other way unto God other than through Jesus Christ and what happened upon the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. He is the only answer to what mankind needs, and that's redemption from sin. There's no other message today that will bring man out of the gutter and put him into the citizenship of heaven. Jesus Himself said, John 14:6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. You say, well, why is that a big deal? Because I'm going to tell you, there's preachers out there saying there could be other ways. There's preachers say, well, if you work your way in, you can go. There's preachers say, well, there could be other ways. And there are comedians, yeah, let's just go ahead and call them. Celebrities saying the same thing. Can I tell you this morning, we are not to preach a message that pleases them, but we are to preach the message that Christ has given us. There's no other way to heaven. Galatians 1:6-9 says this, and this is what Paul felt about it. Because even in those days, there were those that were trying to pervert the gospel. Those that were trying to twist it. They were trying to make it say what they wanted in order to gain what they wanted. In order to fill a house. In Galatians 1:6-9, it says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert what? The gospel of Christ. Almost 2,000 years ago, there were those that were walking among them that wanted to pervert the gospel of Christ. I see it all the time on Facebook and different things where they got a rainbow flag in the sanctuary and we're all going to heaven. That's perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, God loves you. Yes, God loves all of us. But God sent His Son to bring us out of sin. There's a perversion taking place in our nation today that needs to be stopped. And we need to realize we need to stand up and preach what's true and what's right and what God has said in His Word. Because the perversion has taken place. He says this in that same passage, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. We are to protect. Why? Because God has put it into our hands to be good stewards with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may not draw a big crowd. It may not bring you into a place that people are going to honor you. But my friend, let me tell you, what people say and what people do has nothing compared to what God is thinking about you. Because God wants it not to be perverted. We are to preach no other gospel, nor are we to accept any other gospel. End of the case. But it's also to be known not only as the true saving gospel, but also the life-changing gospel. I'm going to bring another step. We need to stand firm on the fact that when you come into a relationship with God, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. It doesn't make you perfect, and I think sometimes we expect people to be perfect, but the fact is people should have some evidence that they got right with God. It's not just a way of being saved. And I hear this all the time. Listen, the gospel message is being watered down in order to build a crowd, especially in America today. The saved by grace, no need to change, existed even in James's day. I hear it all the time. Oh, well, I've been saved by grace. I can live like I want. I have to lie from hell. Don't shout me down. I'm sick of it. I'm fed up with it. Because it's not in the Word of God. The gospel that we preach, the gospel that we've been put stewards over, says that Jesus is the only way, but He has came, and when you receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, it changes you. It changes who you are. It changes your life. James was battling that same deal, so he penned in James chapter 2, verse 18 through 20, "But someone will say to me, 'You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God. You do well." How many know you do well if you believe that there's a God? But listen what he throws in next. "Even the demons believe that and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man," that, listen what he says, "faith without works is dead." What's he telling them? If you can just put James in 2026, he would say to the "grace has got me covered" crowd, "You need something else besides that." He's not adding on to salvation. Yes, I believe that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works. But at the same time, he's saying there ought to be some fruits in your life. There ought to be some evidence that you got right with Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you today, friend, it's not just confessing Christ. It's changing who you are, is what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. It changes that person. It changes them. It doesn't. Listen, some of us are a work. We're all a work. Amen? God is still working on every one of us. Sometimes we have issues we got to get out of our life. I'm not saying you become perfect when you really give your life to the Lord. You become clay in His hand. And He starts to mold you and shape you and build you into who He wants you to be. I'm not saying that. I believe by all means that you get saved by grace through faith. But at the same time, don't tell me you can go live like you want, because I don't think anything happened to you. But you know, I'd get kicked out of a lot of churches for what I just said. Why? Because that's going to be offensive to somebody. But I'm saying this morning, the Word of God does not back up, "Grace has got you covered, go live like you want." Matter of fact, Romans 6:1 says this, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Listen to what Paul says, "Certainly not." That's pretty. When my mother would told me something that clear, I knew I needed to pay attention. Amen? How many of you remember when your mom got onto you like that? And there's just certain words. Paul says, "Certainly not." What's he saying? Certainly not you are to live. You are not to live in sin. Matter of fact, you can find that grace does abound, but it abounds in a sense that it will give you the freedom to get out of sin, is what he's speaking of. He goes on and says, "How shall we who died to what? Sin, live any longer in it? Or do we not know that as many of us were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" And then he goes on in verse 12 and he says, "Therefore do not let," listen to what he says, "do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments, there we go, I got it out, unto God." What's being said there? He said when you come into a relationship with God, there's a change in your life. Are you perfect yet? No. I got news. None of us are going to be perfect till God calls us home. But we are a work in progress. Will you struggle with sin? Yes, you will. But God will bring you out of that if you'll let God do that. You just can't live in sin and not think anything about it. There should be this building relationship of getting the old out and the new coming in. There should be a walk that says, I'm doing what God can get me to help me to do. There's a sin that so easily besets you that you've asked God, I don't want you to raise your hand, but you've asked God more than once to get that out of your life, but you're still struggling with it. That doesn't mean you're not saved. It means, I'm glad you're struggling with it. That means one thing, the Holy Ghost is talking to you. The Holy Ghost is working on you, and you have the desire to get it out. May God set you free of it. I got news for you. Just pray God to be your strength and your weakness, and you're going to find power to come out of it. God talks about a new life. He talks about a new life that we come out of the old and we come into the new. Can I tell you this morning, the examples of people being saved in the Bible and changing overwhelm any examples of those that supposedly had a relationship with Christ and didn't change. Matter of fact, the ones that didn't change, I can tell you a couple of people that were supposedly part of the church. They brought all their goods, said that's all the goods. They lied to the Holy Ghost. They fell dead at the feet of Peter. Come on, what is it? I'm claiming to be a Christian, but yet something wasn't right. Simon, when there was a great revival going on and Philip was preaching the word, when the apostles came and they laid hands on the people, they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit, even though it doesn't say they spoke in tongues, something was happening. And Simon says unto Peter and them, says, how much would that cost for me to have that gift? And we know he got rebuked severely by the leadership of the church. But if you read through the Bible, you'll find those that met Jesus changed their lives. Come on, Saul met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and eventually his name changed from Saul to Paul. Why is that? His life changed. No longer did he persecute the church, but he laid down his life for the cause of Jesus Christ. The gospel we preach is not just something to get into heaven, but it's something that make new men and women. It can take one of the most honorous drunks out there and the gospel would really get in their heart and make them the best citizen around. Come on, when I was a men's director for the district and we'd go up there to the high altitude, I had a woman email me, says, I don't know what happened to my husband, but that man came home changed. Come on, that's the gospel of Jesus. He didn't come home and say, I heard a message, gave my life to Jesus and lived in sin. She said he changed. That's the message. Is there's a change that happens. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. It is so clear, and we need to protect. Why? Because God has given this gospel to you and I as believers, and we need to stay and we need to stick to our guns that, yes, we have the message of life, and the message of life will change a person's life. We don't need to water it down to build a crowd. Next thing is, the gospel is not to be hoarded by the church. The gospel is not to be hoarded by the church. You know, I like American Pickers. You know, they go to these places, it's got some amazing things. I like old stuff, and the more I look in the mirror, the more I like myself. But I like it. They'll go in these barns. They have barns full of stuff. And the thing is, many of the places they go, they're invited by that person to go and check things out. But as they thrift through this stuff, they'll say, you want to sell this? And they say, no. You want to sell this? No. And then you'll hear the actors, they'll say, well, we know we're not going to buy anything. And they'll hang on to this junk or this stuff, and they won't sell any of it. And many of them look like they have one foot in the grave and don't look like they can make it out of the barn. But but are determined to keep it until they die because it's so valuable to them. Can I tell you this morning, as stewards, we are to share the most valuable thing we have, and that being the gospel of Christ. Every one of us, if I was to ask you the most valuable thing you have in your life, I hope you say the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because without it, you don't make it to heaven. Without it, you don't see Jesus. Without it, you don't spend eternity in heaven. The most valuable thing I ever came across in my whole life was the gospel of Jesus Christ that reached down and pulled me out of that old horrible pit. Oh my word, that is more valuable than any job that I've had, more valuable than anything I've ever owned, is the gospel of Jesus. It's the most valuable thing. Listen, church, this morning. It's the most valuable thing that we possess as a church. It's the most valuable thing, San Jacinto, Assembly of God, that we possess is the gospel of Jesus Christ, my friend. It's more valuable than this beautiful sanctuary. It's more valuable than this building. It's more valuable than any program that we have. It's the most valuable thing that we possess is the gospel of Jesus Christ that we have. You can walk into this room and it won't change your life. You can walk into Christ and it's going to change your life. Every church building does not compare to the value of the gospel. The most valuable thing we have is the gospel of Christ. And as good stewards, we cannot keep it to ourselves. We can't be like hoarders. And not anybody, I just love this so much, I can't sell that. I just love the gospel so much, I can't share that with you. It's all going to be mine. Come on, we can't be that way. We've got to realize we got to let go of the gospel. We're just going to share so others can partake in it. It's something that we got to get in our mind and our spirit that we're going to share Jesus. I've got something that's going to change my neighbor's life. I've got something that's going to change my family's life. I've got something that's going to change the city. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if I just hoard it and not let it go, it's not going to change anybody. We've got to share it because the Master above has given us that instruction to do so. Now listen, Jesus is there. He says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go and make disciples. What he's made me a steward over the gospel. And now he's told me to go and share that gospel. To be a good steward, church, San Jacinto, to be a good steward of what God's given us, we must share the gospel. Can I tell you, Jesus could care less about these carpet chairs or these chairs if we're not sharing the gospel. I'm just preaching right where it's at this morning. Because, yeah, you know, I find myself spending more time on this building. Something's falling off all the time. But I need to spend more time on sharing the gospel. Come on, that's what we've been put in charge of. Jesus gave us the power to do it. Not only did He tell us and put us as good stewards of it, to be good stewards of it, He gave us the power to do it. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Come on, if there's any church or any denominations that should be a witness, it should be the Pentecostal church, because we boast that we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues. Can I tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit is not just to speak in tongues, but it is to be a witness. What is the witness? To share that which God has given us to be stewards over, the gospel. He says, witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. Can I tell you this morning, Jerusalem is where you live. Jerusalem is where you live. Whether that be in your neighborhood or where in Amarillo, your workplace, wherever it may be, your family, we are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Judea is further out and could represent the U.S. Samaria could represent crossing uncomfortable boundaries that Christ is. How many know Peter had to figure that out when he went into Cornelius' house? Uncomfortable boundaries. Philip had to figure it out when he went to the Samaria and preached the gospel of Jesus and God poured revival out. We don't get to hear the struggle of Philip. Well, you know, I'm not supposed to be over there. He went and God met him. And he told about Jesus and they had a huge revival. It says to the end of the earth. We are to share what God has given us. This last Wednesday, we had a young couple share with us how they've been able, with the help of a team, win four Muslims over to Christ in an area I cannot mention or cannot tell you exactly where they're at, nor can I tell you the name. But they actually seen four Muslims converted. You know, and this couple was a young couple. It just thrilled me to hear God doing some amazing things. Can I tell you, we have part of that. Your mission support, we have supported that area with prayer. We've supported that area with offerings. And we have part of that. Why? Because we are involved in that. Can I tell you, we also support a group called Network 211 that are seeing people come to Christ, over millions of them and over the world, and even Muslims coming to Christ in Mecca. Now, that's pretty powerful when you think about people are coming to Christ in Mecca. Oh, hallelujah. Can you tell me this morning that our message is not a powerful message that crosses boundaries? I would say you're wrong, because God can go wherever a heart's hungry. We're seeing things we support. We gave that group $1,000 last year to be part of that ministry, to see people win or won for Christ Jesus. I'm just saying we're part of that. We also support U.S. missions. What is that? That's going out a little further. We have one girl that we support, and she goes, listen, she goes into strip bars and she ministers to the strippers, and she's seeing strippers come out of that lifestyle. Oh, that may not be your ministry, but it's hers. God called her to it, and she's seeing God touch lives. What is that? That's going outside our Jerusalem. This is what it's about. Sharing the gospel, not hoarding it, but doing what we can to get it out. Our Jerusalem can be overlooked if we're not careful, because we can pat ourselves on the back that we're seeing people won overseas, we're seeing people won in America. My friend, we're not asking missionaries to take care of our own. Hear what I just said. Who's responsible for Jerusalem? You and I. Every one of us in this room this morning are responsible to share Jesus with our family, with our co-workers, with our neighbors. This is our Jerusalem today. I tell you, back in 24, we had Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flame, had several people come to the Lord. I was disappointed in the return of that. But listen, we did what we were supposed to do. We shared Jesus. I believe with all my heart, a church needs to be about sharing the Lord and seeing God touch people's lives. That is our Jerusalem. This young couple I talked about Wednesday, they made a statement and it resonated in my spirit and in my soul. They said, somebody's got to invite them. Somebody's got to invite them. The reason I'm before you this morning is because a pastor got on a fire department and invited me to church. I had not been invited to that church since 1970. And then when this guy got on there, Brother Ray Cook invited me to a service. I got saved that night. I got filled with the Holy Ghost later. I got called. I think I was called when I was younger, but God brought that back up in my life. Why? Because an invitation was extended. We need to be a church and a people that are inviting people, not necessarily to the church, but inviting people to a relationship with God. That is our Jerusalem. That is where it is. A lot of the church growth happens today as people go from one building to the other. And that's sad. When church growth, true kingdom growth, takes place when someone gives their life to Christ. The last thing in 3 minutes. We are to develop the harvest brought in by the gospel. If you remember at the first of the message, I shared Matthew 28, how we are to make disciples. The harvest is those that have believed on Christ. Disciples are followers of Christ who are students of His Word and follow His teachings. A disciple is not somebody who just confesses, but one that goes after. The word believe in John 3:16 actually means to be a disciple. To believe upon Him. Listen, we don't need to teach them to be like us. But we need to teach them to be like Christ. There's going to be peoples in the culture that we live in are coming in all tattooed and all that. That's okay. And you know what? God calls just about everybody or anybody that He wants to, that He sees a humble heart, into the ministry. We need to get over thinking everybody ought to look a certain way. Amen? I see preachers, they dress all kinds of different ways. We need to get over that, stereotyping what a Christian looks like, because God brings them in every color, every shape, every height, every width. Amen? You know our responsibility is to disciple in what the Word of God says and helps people to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not only, because part of that gospel, Jesus says to make disciples. It's not just to have a head count. I finished our report for the AG last week about how many we got, and they want to know our age. They want to know all this about it. I'm thinking, would y'all just leave us alone? I shouldn't have said that online. But the fact is this, you know, we can count hands and say, yes, we had 30 saved. But how many got discipled last year? That's where I was so disappointed with Heaven Gates and Hell's Flames. We didn't have anybody come back except two people. We must make disciples. It's not about going out and saying, well, I had 30 saved. It's about getting people in and growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I like about Network 211. You get saved out there in the middle of nowhere, they got a discipleship program you can go through. Do we have discipleships here? Yes, we do. It's called Sunday school class. It's called Wednesday night classes. It's called these places that we what? Build. Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. It's a call for Christians to imitate mature believers who are themselves striving to imitate Jesus, serving as a tangible example of Christ-like living. We are to help one another grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was a time, and there still is, dress like me, adopt my patterns, when we need to point them to Christ Jesus. We need to, you know what I figured out in life? That even Christians grow at a different pace. Amen? Some grow fast, some grow slow. And it's our job to disciple newborns. The church helps to develop. We do this by why we come together. We come to worship Jesus. We come for the preaching and the teaching of the Word. And we also offer places to serve. And then we also encourage to go witness. And we need to do that in this church. It's our job for these things. It's our job. And I think if there's a time that we need to get busy, and I don't think we'll get busy until we realize the responsibility that God has given us to be stewards of the gospel. He hasn't given it to Donald Trump. He hasn't given it to our Governor Abbott. He's given it to the church. He's given it to us right here at 400 North Georgia to share that gospel. A few years back, actually many years now, I used to go hunting with a friend of mine. He was a customer of mine. And we'd go out to my wife's place out there. And we would ride around. They got a beautiful place. It's canyons everywhere and about two sections there, three, something like that. Just really beautiful and got some deer on it. And and things. So we'd go out there. I'd take him out there every year. And we'd ride around, and we'd have snacks here, and we'd have our binoculars. And we'd go that whole canyon, the whole day. I mean, we'd go from one finger of it to the other and literally glass these deer. It would be so bad when I got home at night, when I closed my eyes, all I seen were deer. I mean, because we literally sat there and looked at those deer so much. And we seen some big ones, and we seen some little ones. We seen some we called a coal or whatever. But we seen a lot of deer. But we never shot one. Every year we'd go when we ride around, but never shot one. And then one day after it was going to be our last hunt together, Craig decided to shoot a deer. After all those years of being out there and seeing the deer, we decided to shoot one. What's the point of this story? The thing about this, maybe we got somebody we've been glassing for the gospel. Maybe we got a neighbor we've been working on. Maybe we got somebody in our life, we've just been living Jesus before them. I'm going to tell you, it is time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time. Maybe we've been glassing the neighborhood. It's time to preach. It's time to share Jesus Christ, because Jesus is what will change a person's life. It's time that we put the binoculars down, and it's time that we share Jesus Christ.